Our readings today remind us to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. God asked Abram to look up at the sky and count the stars. Philippians reminds us our citizenship is in heaven. Peter, James, and John's eyes are fixed heavenward as they climb the mountain and witness Jesus' transfiguration. Where are your eyes fixed? On our electronics? On what others have? Today, let us ask for the grace to fix our eyes and hearts heavenward. First, however, we ask that you turn to your neighbors in this church today and greet them.
Christ Jesus. listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice and behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other, but the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking firepot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates," the word of the Lord.
I believe. that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I've often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. When he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. listened to him. After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. The Transfiguration was quite literally a glorious occasion. Luke tells us that Jesus appeared in glory. His face, even his clothing, changed. And if that was not enough, God the Father spoke to the apostles from a cloud, a sign of heavenly majesty. Why then do we read this in Lent? It is obvious why we read the story of the temptation last week. It fits the season where we are expected to fast and pray. But what about this? It fits just as well. For this is also a season in which we are to listen and learn. As we have seen, Luke is an accomplished writer. And he uses literary devices to enlighten us. He also assumes that we will read this gospel and the acts that follow it many times, and that we will know at least some of the books of the Old Testament quite well. All of this is seen in this passage. Those of you who read the passage from your Bibles before Mass may have noticed that the first phrase is missing. And what we read today, it says, about 8 days later, he took Peter, James, and John. 8 days before, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answers the Messiah, And Jesus' response, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." I bet that got their attention. This connects this passage to the first part of the gospel. Note how Jesus is with Moses and Elijah, two people who the Jews thought ascended into heaven, and thus now had heavenly bodies. We see two men in dazzling garments, heavenly bodies, two other times in Luke, at the resurrection near the end of the gospel, and at the ascension in Acts, other times when we experience Jesus with a glorified body. There are also many references to the Old Testament, mostly to Moses. They are on a mountain, like Mount Sinai. Jesus' face changed, recalling how the face, Moses' face changed when he was talking with God. This is to direct us to the discussion between Moses and Elijah. They spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Moses led the people of Israel through the Red Sea to freedom and the Promised Land. Jesus will lead all people to freedom through his death and resurrection. This is where Peter returns, bringing us along with him. And ask yourself as we go through this, would you have made the same mistakes Peter did? I know I would have. Peter has heard the message of the cross, and he seizes on this moment, Jesus glorified, to perhaps forestall this or maybe even eliminate it. He wanted this moment of glory, to be the fulfillment of Jesus' ministry, not a painful and ignominious death. His suggestion to making three tents was a reflection of that Moses made a tent of meeting in the desert for God's glory to dwell. Peter wanted God's glory to dwell magnificently and now. Notice a few things more. Peter refers to Jesus as Master. This is a title of tremendous human respect, but it is not adequate for Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is God. Peter has made this mistake before. He called Jesus the Messiah. Now, he is the Messiah, but he's so much more than that. But it was close enough that Jesus is able to work with him. I'm sure most of us have found ourselves recognizing that our view of God was far too small. But God is willing to work with us to get us to a better place. So, Peter wishes to build three tents. He seems to be treating Moses, Elijah, and Jesus as equals. But no one is the equal to Jesus. Moses and Elijah only reflect God's glory. Jesus is God's glory. Now, this is cut short by a divine interruption. Again, we need to look back on the Old Testament. It is a book, in the book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days took his throne. His clothing was white as snow. And a few sentences before what we read today, Jesus says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." We spoke a few moments ago about the tent of meeting, which Moses made for the presence of God, which appeared as a cloud. The cloud now appears and casts its shadow on Jesus. It envelops, what the Greek is saying, Jesus. He is the new place where we meet God. Peter did not need to build the tent. Jesus is the tent. Now, as I have repeatedly mentioned, and I assure you will mention again, in Luke, always look for the presence of the Blessed Mother. Mary is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation and brings forth Jesus. The apostles are now overshadowed as well by the same Spirit, and they are to bring forth the ministry of the church. They are frightened, as we always should be in the presence of God. But that indeed shows our recognition of the majesty of God. The final section of today's gospel should be seen as Jesus in the heavenly court. And if Peter has difficulty understanding who Jesus is, the Father has none. He calls him my chosen son. Luke knows and expects his readers and hearers to know, at least after several readings, that we must go back to the book of the prophet Isaiah, where he writes, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations." This is one of the suffering servant poems in Isaiah, one of those passages whose full meaning awaited Jesus, indeed, whose full meaning awaited the crucifixion. And if I may be allowed a moment for an advertisement, I remind you that we have joined with Grace Episcopal to have a series of talks and reflections and prayers on the crucifixion, on why it is important not only to believe that Jesus died and rose, but the importance of the manner in which he died and rose. Crucifixion is not an accident. Crucifixion is a revelation. Jesus is the creator of the world, and he will be put to death horribly and ignominiously. He will do so in the Spirit, and from this will begin the entrance of the kingdom of God. Note what else the Father has to say. Listen to him. This is hard. After Jesus tells him that he will suffer and die at the hands of the leaders, that they were trained from childhood to respect the elders, chief priests, and scribes, he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." He said that to all, not just the apostles, but to all of us. That is why we read this in Lent. We need to listen to the words of Jesus, be instructed by them, and however great our ignorance, we'll still follow him and follow to and with the cross. Reading about the transfiguration in Lent is a reminder that we can experience the resurrection only if we embrace the cross.
I believe in one God, our gaze on God, our ancestors, who constantly invites us to lift up our minds and hearts, trusting that our prayers will be heard.
For church leaders who live in fear of change, for a transformation that includes the voice of the marginalized, for healing for all innocent victims who have been harmed by abuse, cover-up, and lies, for courage to reach out to those who have fallen away, we pray. For world leaders to have compassion and courage to reach beyond the borders and pursue peace, for just conditions and wages for all laborers, for an end to human trafficking and modern-day slavery, we pray. For our Muslim brothers and sisters who were killed or wounded in New Zealand this week, and for a deeper appreciation and acceptance of all religions and traditions, especially ones unfamiliar to us, we pray.
Lord.
For those who live under clouds of darkness and fear, for those who suffer from depression and mental illness, those who live in unsafe communities, and for those who do not believe in God, we pray.
Lord, hear
our prayer. For our loved ones who are sick, for those from whom we are estranged, for first responders who protect us, and for all who have gone before us, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the petitions hidden in our hearts. We pray. For Mary Kelly, remembered by Karen Compton, we pray.
And for our newest parishioner, Adele, aged 6 days, let us pray to the
Lord.
God of the covenant and giver of all that is good, hear the prayers we have spoken. Those behold them quiet our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we lift up our hearts, minds, and prayers to heaven, trusting in your love and mercy.
Thank you.
prayers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. May this sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful in body and mind for the celebration of the Paschal festivities, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord, for after he had told the disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain, he manifested to them his glory, to show even by the testimony of the Lord and the prophets, that the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. And so with the powers of heaven, we worship you constantly on earth, and before your majesty, without end, we acclaim. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lords, we celebrate the memorial of the same passion of your Son, his wondrous Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to the second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, on the oblation of your church, and recognize it in the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of the Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with St. Charles Borromeo, St. Patrick, and with all the saints. On whose constant intercession in your presence, we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Nicholas, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom we bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, and the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever.
Thank you.
Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lord.
Thank you.
city to you, O Lord, for allowing us while on earth to be partakers even now of the things of heaven, through Christ our Lord. Please be seated for a few minutes.
Sessions on the crucifixion. There are some things which you can learn in a lecture. Other things you have to talk about. This is one of the things that you have to talk with other people and bring it out. Now, I mentioned last week that I was going to ask questions on the ledger this week. Some people thought I was kidding. I'll make the questions easy. Most parishes, and we believe along with this, have losing 3 to 4%.
really great gifts, which you find under extraordinary, under flowers and other donations. I don't know where it's got flowers. We got one person who makes a really, really, really nice donation. We don't get tax. However, that does mean that there are some things in the collective that we probably can't. Parish Council gave you the outline or at least the vision of the parish to be. But as I believe in budget lines, and the budget lines are sacred, and they're not to be violated. If it ain't in the budget, it ain't happening. So they will probably be contacting you about that. Again, I urge you to look at it. It's, it has the sort of dyslexic version on the side, which they have to prepare for me, because I have to sign this, and if you just give me a lot of figures, I have no idea what we're going on. It's just all mixed up. So this is the easiest to read budget in the diocese, and I suggest that you do read it by the work made into it. And then use your work. Also, I will be celebrating my 40th anniversary as a priest on March 31st at 11:15 Mass. That will be the Christmas Lent, and only a little bit young, so I expect to be around for my 50th. I'll be my only family for a few friends who are old and want to sign. But again, you're welcome to come and join us. It should be a very, very pleasant experience, but again, it is an accordingly. Now, before we have the regular blessings, we have an absolute favorite one. The first one of the child is in the church, so bring her on. If there are any other babies here for the first time, bring them up. 6 days old, I'm not going to be making it all. My youngest functional equivalent of granddaughters was 5 pounds or something when she was born. She will never let me forget that old girl until she was 10 pounds. Now she's taller than her mom. She's 15. Lord Jesus Christ, you love children so much that you said, "Where we walk as a child, walk as a man." Hear our prayers with an unfailing attention. Watch over the dead who will bless with the grace of baptism. We rejoice that she is now able to join us in the house of God. When she has grown to maturity, grant that she will confess her name in willing faith, deferring to charity, and persevere courageously in the hope of reaching her kingdom. We live for the reign of God. faithful, we pray, O Lord, with a blessing that endures forever. And keep them faithful to the gospel of your only begotten Son, so that they may always desire and at last attain that glory beyond whose beauty has he shown in his own body, to the amazement of his apostles, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ to love and to serve the Lord.
Thank you, God.